What is up, everyone? Chris Manning here from the Lockdown Cavs podcast with my co-host Evan Damerill, analyzing the cases for different Cavs for different awards that they are finalists for. Let's get into it. All right, today's show, with the music coming in, it was from our friends at Astro Radio. If you haven't checked them out already, do so on Spotify or Apple Music. On today's show, segment one, Darius Garland for MIP. We'll analyze his case. Segment two, Evan Mobley for Rookie of the Year. Why it's really just down to him and Scotty, and I think Evan should get the award. And segment three, Kevin Love. Where does he fit in the sixth man of the year race? But Evan, what's going on, buddy? How's it going?
Not a whole lot, man. I feel a lot of pressure. I didn't know I was a candidate for NBA Rookie of the Year at this point, but I'm going to try my best to bring home the award. You said Evan's going to try and win it, so... Oh, God, I got to prepare my speech. How are you, though? That joke's never going to get old.
I'm doing... Ever. It's been old since the first time you did it, but I'm doing good. We're here mid recording a little back-to-back, in case you're watching YouTube wondering, are these guys wearing the same shirts? We are, because we're recording two episodes back-to-back. So, Evan, let's start with Darius Garland for Most Improved Player. Here are the official NBA finalists are Darius Garland from the Cleveland Cavaliers, Ja Morant from the Memphis Grizzlies, and DeJounte Murray from the San Antonio Spurs. Our friends at BetOnline have the betting odds as such. Ja Morant is the favorite at -575. Darius Garland is second at +375. Jamal Murray is third at +950. I'm going to just start by...
DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray.
Actually, you know what? Jamal Murray hasn't even played this year. What am I saying?
My brain has just been thinking a lot about the Denver Nuggets, and I said Jamal Murray. So there we go. DeJounte Murray. Here's the thing. I want to start by saying that the way that they do Most Improved Player is actually stupid.
How so?
The way that they're going to vote on it. I don't think about this as a Ja Morant award. I think of this as a guy that have actually taken leaps from being like kind of fine to maybe even bad to like really good. That is the leap that Darius Garland has made from being kind of just kind of fine to like a dude in this league. Look at Jordan Poole should be a top three finalist to me. He was in the G League last year and he's like been awesome all year. Desmond Bane has gone had a leap this year.
The other night.
Yeah. Like Jaws had a great year. He should be like maybe the top 5 to 7 MVP. There's like it is a lot to be said of going from like really really good to like the next level of good. That's a very hard leap to make. It's a leap that is staring down Darius next year. I just don't think of this as a word of as like the guy that is like going from already very good to even better, or is like third year jumps to like superstar status to some degree. I feel like it should be guys that actually take these massive leaps forward. That's what Darius Garland did this year. And I don't even, like, if you want to argue for Jordan Poole or Desmond Bane, who's Zach Lowe picked, I believe in his write-up, he picked Bane. If you want to pick, you know, there's a lot of guys you can pick. Robert Williams had a really great breakout season.
Oh, Time Lord like, should be a candidate for sure, if you want to be like that.
Yeah, but these are the guys that fit the criteria to me more than, like, Ja, who goes from, like, very, very good to most improved.
Yeah, I agree and disagree because... You kind of made the case as you were talking about it. Like with Ja, he made the leap from very good to like a new stratosphere where he's like an MVP caliber guard. Like that's incredible. But I agree with like your takes on Jordan Poole, Robert Williams. But like Darius Garland went from, this is what I agree with the most, he went from like a player where he's kind of average and you're kind of saying like, hey, I think you could be good. He's kind of like... Jay Cutler at the Denver Broncos, where you think he might be good one day, but you kind of don't know if he sucks or not right now, and you're still trying to figure it out. But like he didn't have the Cuddy where he looks like he's smoking cigarettes on the sidelines. He instead, Garland, leaps into a new stratosphere. He's not on the same level as Ja. I will troll Sean Coleman about it as often as I can, but Ja is obviously at a different level, and like you said, it's kind of staring Darius down the barrel a little bit. Like, do you have a next level to you, or are you going to be more of like a Nashian type player, which is still pretty incredible at the end of the day, obviously, but like, you'll understand what I mean in a bit. But Garland should be, I think, the front runner for this award, because he really carried this Cavs team for the entire season. And I know we talk about how the Cavs wouldn't be in this position without Evan Mobley, and they wouldn't. But I don't think if you get this ascension from Darius Garland all of a sudden, you wouldn't see it. Plus, also, Garland makes players on the floor actively better, and like that's his biggest change for me this year. Like he makes average players look competent, or he makes players who can barely stick with the team and or just in the G League in general, and make them look like rotation players. Like, that's huge, and like, that's a huge thing. Plus, the Grizzlies are a lot more loaded than the Cavs too, so just saying, just like, Garland had a little less to work with than Ja Morant.
Yeah, I'm not even necessarily saying that I think like Garland like would be like, if I had a vote, that he would even necessarily like 100% be locked in into my
I would vote for him.
Like, I think there's like,
I'm also, he's the player I watch the most because I've had to watch all 82 Cavs games this year. Like, I will tune into a Grizzlies game on an off night and watch Ja like just do batshit stuff, but I'm not watching every single Grizzlies game. I don't have a cool accent to be complimented by Steven Adams with.
Like, Darius just had a year where he's playing 36 minutes a game, basically. His numbers basically across the board stayed the same, were better with a much higher level of responsibility. He posted a career-high assist percentage, 8% up above his second year with the same turnover percentage, like, remained very efficient. Like, everything you could have wanted out of him with the load that he had to carry was, I think, really impressive. And it tells you that, in the simplest terms, Darius Garland went from a dude that like you that you could feel, I think, kind of, honestly, after a year or two, I don't know what, I think there was reason for Garland optimism. I don't think we knew that he was 100% going to be this. This has been a leap to like a guy that is going to get
cautiously optimistic about him coming into the season. Like, I think go ahead.
So was I, but this is a guy that's going to deservedly get a max extension this summer. The case for him is that he was the most important piece in a lot of ways on a Cavs team that was much better than expected, and he was a deserving all-star and like took a massive leap in terms of the quality of player he was. It is such a drastic leap in terms of everything that happened, in terms of everything that how it went, that like I think at the very least this is a guy that should be like a top three candidate. There's a very, very strong case that he's worth. It seems like he's going to finish second. That the betting market would kind of lead you to think that he's probably going to end up finishing second. And I think that's that's a fine place to end up. He deserves some consideration in this world because I think he's just, even just you get to the end of the year, you look at the confidence he was playing with and the poise of trying to feel like he had to do everything. That tells you this is a guy that was, I think, just clearly better in a way that I think is what that allows the Cavs to do going forward, and how he and where he continued to still go and how they can use him in different ways and stuff. Will be really interesting. Like, I mean, maybe in a year from now, we'll be talking about him having a most improved case because he hits another level, a la, like what Ja kind of did this year, and he gets the bump on that vote, and we're like, guess if it votes this way, then maybe he deserves consideration in this way. This is how it was voted on.
It's kind of exciting though, just like thinking about this overall. A while back, like you read like scouting reports, you've heard it, I've heard it, like, if Darius played his entire season at Vanderbilt, he would have given Ja a run for his money as the top point guard in the draft class. And now these two could be kind of forming like this, not a rivalry per se, because they're not the same division or even the same conference. They only play each other twice a year. But like Ja and Darius could be like the two future like lead guards. I mean, Luka as well, but like they could be up there in the conversation. And I just chuckled to myself when he said like maybe Garland makes this bump. And when he said M, I was expecting you to say MVP. And I was going to say, whoa, Chris, you're a little high on that supply there. But yeah, I could see that happening. I think that that'd be fun. And I think it's just, again, the fact that we're having this conversation because Garland, you were cautiously optimistic about, and then like, yeah, you have your reservations about Ja just because like his athleticism is scary sometimes, just the way he lands and how he falls, but it does put in perspective how good of a place the league is in long term, because there's just continuous young talent flushing in like this.
Again, I think Darius had just an insanely improved season. I think if he's not on your ballot, it's crazy to me. He's had just an insane year, and I think does get some bonus points for having to do a lot on a team that was hit by injuries, and he still navigated it, I think, as well as you obviously could have. Okay, after the break, we're going to get into Evan Mobley for Rookie of the Year and why it's really just a two-man race between him and Scotty Barnes at this point. I think that's pretty clear. But Evan, you're going to tell everyone first about our friends at Prize Picks.
You are absolutely correct, Chris. All right, NBA fans, are you looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA? Then you need to try the new award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love it, and we know you'll love it too. If you pick 2 to 5 players and over under other projections, you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. PrizePix is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and the Google Play Store. PrizePix offers a variety of options, and they offer you any prop you can think of, from points scored to rebounds, even steals. PrizePix also allows mixed sports entries, which means you can also pick, you can pick from NBA, college basketball, college football, NFL, MLB, soccer, MMA, and more. Maybe even a Locked On Cavs fight one day. For a limited time, PrizePix is an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. Users get $50 for free if a player in your first PrizePix entry scores a single point, but you must use the code NBA. That's right, this is an exclusive offer available to Locked On Cavs fans. Sign up today and use the code NBA for $50 for free. If a player in your first PrizePix entry scores a single point, you win.
Also going to tell everyone about our friends at BetOnline, the number one source for your betting needs and sports info. And the lines that we cite here on the Locked On Cavs podcast and across the Locked On Network. Find out the latest sports developments, including the ongoing NBA playoff games podcast and reviews for all of the different leagues this season. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. That includes the various NBA awards, including the Cavs players having chances. The awards Cavs players have chances of winning, including Rookie of the Year, where Evan Mobley is the betting favorite, just slightly, but is the betting favorite over Scottie Barnes and a massive favorite over Cade Cunningham. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. That's BetOnline, and that's where the game starts. Check them out today. You can bet on everything there: MMA, soccer, basketball, baseball, the next Lakers head coach. They have it all over at BetOnline. Check them out, betonline.net. All right, back here on Locked On Cavs, talking about Rookie of the Year now. The three finalists: Evan Mobley from Cleveland, Cade Cunningham from Detroit, Scottie Barnes from Toronto. Evan, Cade is great. He's going to be really good. Was really good, I think, down the stretch. I think, for me, it's a two-person race. It is Mobley and Scottie. The betting markets would agree. Mobley is a -160 favorite. Barnes is second at +110. Cade is third at +1400. So that's a pretty sizable gap in terms of the betting odds. So I think it's a two-person race.
No, I absolutely agree. I mean, yeah, I agree. I think it is a two-person race. I think we need to give consideration to Cade Cunningham as well. He's been really, really good his rookie season. I will say that, again, this is just a common thing we always talk about when it comes to Evan Mobley, but Houston could have drafted Evan Mobley, and the Cavs would have drafted Jalen Green at that point, I would assume, just because you're taking the best player available. The Cavs would still have a pretty good season, I'd say. I'd say Jalen Green is a very good rookie, and he's on his way on the up and up, but just not as refined as like Mobley, Cunningham, or Barnes at this point in terms of the top four. And the Cavs wouldn't have the season they have as well, just because they have right now with Jalen Green would be completely different. It'd be a lot more questions and variables as well. So Mobley's just that connective tissue between the defense and the offense. He does a lot of small things. And yeah, Scottie Barnes is incredible. I think being in that Toronto ecosystem has done a lot for him. It makes you wonder how terrifying Evan Mobley would be in that Toronto system. But at the same time, like, Mobley has just been consistently good from wire to wire. And if you want to award winning, I think you have to award the fact that a rookie at 19, 20 years old came into a team that was projected to win 26 games and helped lead them to a winning record. And they were flirting moments away from being a playoff team playing Miami right now.
Look, I look at what their cases kind of respectively are. Mobley, I think, did some really impressive work and was arguably kind of more dominant one-on-one in a less functional team environment. I think is better on offense than people think. I think Scottie like kind of had like a really good offensive season. Mobley kind of had some inefficiencies at times, definitely looked a little tired at times, and it was figuring stuff out, but is particularly very sneakily good at post-ups and an ISO.
I think Barnes was more used versatilely. Ask more of Mobley than the Raptors had to ask of Barnes.
Yeah,
at times, of course, because yeah, Scottie so played I point think, guard against yes, the Cavs once.
Yeah, Mobley, I think, ended up being sort of asked to like define the system, where Scottie was like accentuating the system. And I think if that's like a tiebreaker, and I think if you want to delineate things that way, I don't think that's unfair. I think if you want to look at it and say Barnes, it was more versatile in how he was used, was also on a team that ultimately won more games because they did. And like, they're in the playoffs right now, and the Cavs are not. If you want to count that, he played 300 more minutes as well. And it's razor tight. Like, you can look at the different metrics, and they will give you different answers based on what ones you look at, who's ahead and what. I think I just go Mobley because I don't think I saw a guy. And again, we watch him more. We watch him much more than we watch Scotty because we cover the Cavs primarily. And like, we'll watch other games, other teams and stuff. But like, it is hard. Like, I, you know, we watched 82 Cavs games apiece plus two in the play-in. We watched every Mobley game, watched him in Summer League as well. Watched a lot of Scotty. Didn't watch nearly as much Scotty as you did, as we did Mobley. That plays a factor in this, I think, to some degree. It's hard to separate when you see more of something really good sometimes, at least in my mind. I just think Mobley was, it to me, should win just because I think for when what he was asked to do in the situation he did, I don't think I've seen – I just don't think the Cavs, like, have the season they did.
Yep.
Like, even if Garland was going to be good this year, even if all that stuff was true, I don't think this season works without Evan Mobley. And I think that is probably a tiebreaker.
The Game Boy link cable between the offense and the defense for the Cavs that allows them to trade their Pokemon to evolve them from a Haunter to a Gengar. That's just my weak analogy or comparison of the day. But, yes, that – again, the league's in a really good place if you just think about how talented these young players are. I absolutely agree. I think Scotty had the benefit of the Toronto ecosystem where he wasn't asked to do a ton, and he accentuated and they let him just kind of play his own game because, like, the playmaking, really intriguing. Like, Scotty Barnes is kind of what I thought Ben Simmons could be coming into the NBA. And I'm interested, maybe not the defensive level player that Ben Simmons is, but like, I'm intrigued to see where his career takes him. And I think having Nick Nurse as your coach and being in that Toronto system and having Masai, who is an aggressive GM who knows how to make smart moves to accentuate and build his roster and kind of keep them in contention and not as a rebuilding squad, is a great thing for any rookie to end up in. But I think it just goes to Mobley because this is a Toronto team, to be fair. Like, they were in the lottery because I think a lot of it was because of injuries, COVID, and the fact that they weren't playing in Toronto. They were playing in Tampa. It was just a weird season for them where they just fell into getting the fourth pick in the draft. And then they went ready. Yes, they lose Kyle Lowry, but they keep Fred VanVleet, and then they just keep on churning. They go back into being a legitimate playoff team. Like, the Cavs were bad for 2 years after LeBron, and then they became good because Evan Mobley kind of just connected everything for them in so many different ways.
Let's Evan on this, Evan. Just aside from the top three, is there anyone in this rookie class that you, when you've gotten to watch them, that you've come away really, really liking? If there's not someone that, aside from Mobley, who I think we're both picking to win Rookie of the Year.
I have a good list. I like Cade a lot, obviously. The best.
Well, he's in the top three, so you just kind of didn't answer my question.
You just said
already.
Any rookies we didn't talk about.
Oh. We kind of talked about Cade,
but Josh Giddey, super fun. Franz Wagner, super fun. Jalen Suggs, I'm intrigued by. Herb Jones rules. I think he's so good.
Took you to four to get to Herb.
I'm going down the list of like the draft order of notable players, but again, this is a really, really talented draft class, and there's a lot of talented rookies. But like, just those guys I lifted off the top of my head, like, they're guys I'll be watching for a while, Mobley and Barnes included too. What about you? What's your love answer, Herb. Chuck Arino?
It's Herb.
What about Josh Giddey, mate?
I love Herb.
You don't like the Giddey up?
TikTok King, yeah. Josh Giddey.
Sorry, I'm stretching my hips. I went for a run.
Look,
today.
This is just like a very
it
fun
is, and
class.
It's cool, man. It's really cool. Like, teams who picked in the top 15, I want to say, got a pretty high impact rookie. Like, that's cool. You don't see that happen that often.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can go down this list with some of the...
I'm trying to think of his name. The Davion Mitchell. Like, Davion Mitchell's fun, too. Like, he's a junior, but he's fun for Sacramento.
Yeah.
Jonathan Kuminga is going to be intriguing.
Look, Bones Highland.
For the Warriors.
Yeah. I mean, Bones Highland, to me, is a ton of fun. Io DeSumo had some really impact moments
for
the Bulls.
Free James Booknight from the depths of Charlotte's rotation.
BJ Boston for the Clippers was not the Clippers rookie that I had investment in, but had some fun moments. We got some fun stuff out there. This is just like
a
fun class. I mean,
Usman Garuba was a pretty good win for 23 overall.
I mean, like Trey Murphy giving good minutes for the Pelicans at the end of the year.
The Pelicans are fascinating. They really turn things around. But like, there's a lot of good fun players, and I'm intrigued to see where a lot of their careers go, and it's some players can be hit or miss, like Corey Kispert. I'm still interested in what happens with him. I remember he had some, like, the Cavs were kind of interested in him. Like, Josh Primo's, like, the youngest player to, like, ever be drafted at this point. Like, I think he's still a fetus on the court for the Spurs. Like, he could be fun. Like, there's a lot of interesting players, and I'm interested to see where they go. And I keep on saying interested, but, like, that's it. It's going to be interesting.
Yes. All right. After the break, we're going to talk about Sixth Man of the Year and where Kevin Love fits into that conversation. But first, Evan's going to tell everyone about rockauto.com.
You're absolutely correct, my man. Today's episode of Locked On Cleveland Cavaliers is brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts your car needs. Why are often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts for a chain store car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. And if you're interested, go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on there. How did you hear about this box center that we sent you? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
All right, last segment of the day here on Locked On Cavs. I'm Chris, that's Evan. All right, so the Sixth Man of the Year.
Yes, sir.
Three finalists, Kevin Love from the Cleveland Cavaliers, Tyler Herro from the Miami Heat, and Cam Johnson from the Phoenix Suns. Betting odds via BetOnline. Tyler Herro is the runaway favorite here, -50,000 for Herro. Love is +5,000, and Cam Johnson is +5,000. Herro seems like he's going to win. And this actually, Evan, of all of these awards, I think Herro winning is, like, reasonable and fine. Look, I think him being such an overwhelming favorite over Love, over Johnson, over Bogdan Bogdanovic in Atlanta, that to me, him being such an overwhelming runaway, seemingly locked in award winner here, where there are, like, there's, like, maybe, like, two, there's a little bit of mystery with Ja and MIP. There's a whole lot of mystery in how Rookie of the Year is going to shake out. Sixth Man of the Year feels like it's going to Tyler Herro, and I can understand that as a first-place award. I would even perhaps do that if I had a vote. I think it's crazy he's this far ahead of
the pack. I think it's crazy, too. Did you read what John Hollinger said, just his argument on the...
The scoring. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I think
that can be taken into consideration, but to be frank, folks, Sixth Man of the Year, the award is who scores the most points primarily off the bench for some team, and if it's a winning team like the Heat, who's first in the Eastern Conference... It makes a lot more sense. Like, Jordan Clarkson didn't play with a ton of efficiency for the Jazz, and he won Sixth Man of the Year. Jamal Crawford's won Sixth Man of the Year before, and he's not the most efficient player, but he led the league in bench points per game. Like, it's not really that tricky of an award to figure out. And that's it. Makes sense why Herro's going to get it. But I agree with Chris. Like, it should be a little closer because Kevin Love was pretty impactful for the Cavs off the bench this year.
When the Cavs last played the Heat, I talked about this with the guys from Locked On Heat, David Ramil and Wes Goldberg. And talking to David, we were trading texts during the game.
Talking trash.
And it was like, look at Kevin. Nah, David. Dave's cool.
So is Wes. Wes is cool, too.
Of all the people who didn't make
Wes,
it to
Wes has good cadence. Dave was supposed to come to really easily.
Yeah, I wish I had that with you sometimes because I would really keep things the train moving along here, buddy.
That's your top of my hat. What can I say?
David was like, look, Kevin Love, if you look at the way, if you just watch like a Cavs game, it is like sort of, like if you want to make the case for him, didn't play a ton of minutes, obviously.
I guess it wasn't, because you know, the Hawks were eating him alive in the pick and
roll.
Well,
no, but I mean like in general, it's like this wasn't always like a 30-minute a game guy. This was a guy in the 20s a lot of the time, right? This is a guy that, it felt like when he came with how the Cavs functioned this year, the case for him is like he was the reason the team sort of had like a functional bench unit a lot of the time. He was the offensive punch a lot of the time. And like that's the argument. What?
We wouldn't be having this conversation if Ricky Rubio was healthy, though. We'd be arguing about how Rubio should be winning the award.
Oh.
Because Ricky Rubio was the one who sparked this bench unit. Oh.
This is the best ad lib you've ever had on the show, really? Just to be clear. Yeah, not even close. This is the best like thing that you. This is your best bit of all time because it's just good. The Rubio probably would be my like pick if he had stayed healthy and continued.
I don't
know.
This is a bit. I was being genuine. I was being serious.
No. I mean, like you. Some usually when you segue, I don't know always where you're going. This is like the best, like getting the train going in a faster, more efficient direction than it's ever happened. I'm really proud of you right now.
I hang up on write a little note that says Chris is proud of me and hanging on my fridge, but. Yeah, Rubio, if he stayed healthy, stuck with the Cavs all season long, just how impactful he was and not just getting love, but Osman going, would be the front runner for this award, in my opinion.
Gosh.
But
Jenny,
Kevin Love,
oh boy.
To his credit, only missed time due to COVID this season. He played every game without injury this year. Yeah, knocking on wood that it stays that way. He was highly impactful even after Rubio went down. He found a way to mesh with Rondo. He made Darius Garland better when he was on the floor. He played high-impact minutes in a lesser role for the Cavs. And that's pretty impressive, honestly, because especially all things considered, like people thought he was done after the Team USA stuff. Like, I thought he was done. Like, I thought, like, the Cavs cooked, his Achilles is going to pop, and, like, it's going to be a sad ending to his career. But he's really just turned this whole thing around, and, again, it's contributed to winning. Why not reward it? That's my argument.
Yeah, I think, again, there's a lot of different ways you could, I think, go with this award. I think like Cam Johnson, with how good he's been defensively, the value he's provided as a shooter for Phoenix
Cam
on the
Johnson
NBA's best team has been
really good
and really important as well.
Happy to say I was wrong about. I didn't understand why James Jones and the Suns picked him. I think having Chris Paul helps a lot, but he's so good for the Suns.
Hey, late first-round pick or middle first-round pick, sometimes you can hit on those, and that can help you to some degree. I just look at what has happened. I think this award is like it is Kevin. Like if you even in, I think like he's another guy I would have in my top 3 to 5. I don't think he's like a lock.
I don't think
to
he's
win,
a lock to win either.
But
yeah, top three.
No, he's obviously not going to
be Tyler Harrow, but Hero, whatever the hell you want to call him, but. I think Love would be second or third. Like, who would you put above Love if you had to make the argument?
I think there's, like, a chance Cam. You could make an argument for Cam.
See, that's tricky, though, because, like, you can make an argument for JC again with the Jazz as well. Like, he did a lot of things for them.
Well, no, JC is not a candidate this year. No. The efficiency
Chris
for him.
Chris is also a guy who votes for Andre Drummond every year for Defensive Player of the Year. So some people aren't paying attention.
Yeah, we try to get him on the pod.
Said,
he's on the pod.
No thanks. And I'm like, all right, moving on.
Like, I think this award is like it doesn't feel like there's a unit. Yeah, and it's not like Joe Ingles probably should have won it last year over Jordan Clarkson if we're keeping it 100.
Yeah, I don't think that's controversial.
Like, look, there you go. Feel a bunch of ways about it. I think Love at the very least should be candidate.
Odds list just so I have the full names in front of me.
Well, there's only three candidates now because there's three finalists.
You can make an argument for Kelly Oubre at the Hornets because he made a lot of impact in terms of scoring, like.
I think Bogdanović for Atlanta should
yeah,
probably be in that list.
I agree. I don't know. Maybe even Buddy Hield with the Pacers. Like, that's interesting too. But like, right. I don't know. It's hard because if you start looking at like bad teams like that, like, do you really want to reward a guy who's scoring like 25 points on a 10 or 12, 13 win team off the bench? No. I think winning should play a factor in this, and that's where it also gets tricky because the Heat are the top team in the East, and if you look at the Suns, they're probably going to win the title this year because they're just that incredible. So,
Evan, I want to end on this. Of these three awards, Rookie of the Year with Mobley, Sixth Man of the Year with Love, Most Improved with Garland, which one do you feel the most strongly about in terms of what Cav is the most deserving?
Evan
like, if
Mobley.
You had to pick one that a Cav
Evan
was going to get... Okay,
I just think, again, you reward winning. He's such a high-impact player, and no disrespect to Scottie Barnes, but, like, it just feels safe to say, like, I think he's going to win that one.
Yeah, I think that's right. I also think, like, I've had some fun thinking about Most Improved. Because I just think the way that you voted in that award says a lot about who ends up getting it.
How so?
Well, like, if you're going to give it to Ja, it's just, again, it's about this, the kind of leap you're taking. It just depends on how you want it, the how you're going to define most improved, I think, is sort of how it shapes that award to some degree. I should know this. It was, I mean, like, Luka's won it before, I'm pretty sure, and Giannis won it before. It's like, these guys are already really good. Randall, it's not like a most improved thing.
Julius Randle makes sense. He went from like an okay-ish player to that, like, one makes, holy cow, he had a huge year. Like a So it was Julius Randle, Brandon Ingram, Pascal Siakam, Victor Oladipo, Giannis, CJ McCollum, Jimmy Butman. That one makes a lot of sense. Goran Dragic, that one makes a lot of sense. Paul George, that one makes a lot of sense. Kevin Love, back in 2010, 2011, that one makes a ton of sense, actually, because he broke his freaking hands doing knuckle push-ups. So, there's players that make sense. It's interesting to see their trajectory. Maybe, I don't know, Giannis makes a lot of sense because you didn't really kind of see that leap coming from him. It's an interesting award for sure. Like, a lot of the players you look at, like Ingram, depends. Like Siakam, that makes sense. Oladipo, to an extent, makes sense, but he was also...
Well, Oladipo did have like a crazy leap when he went from like kind of like
okay to like Oladipo shit, and then he had a debilitating injury.
He went from like, yeah, like why did the Thunder just trade?
Why did the Thunder trade him and Sabonis?
Well, no, why did the Pacers only take him and Sabonis too? He's an all NBA guy, and they lucked out in that. That trade worked out for them because for a short time they had all NBA Victor Oladipo, who was very good.
Yep. So that's maybe just like if you look at those guys, I think you can make a better argument for Darius. But like at the same time, like because Ja's always been good. That's the hard thing. Like he's.
So this is my thing. I'm not even saying he's undeserving because he's really great. Like Ja's like a super duper star, and like. Yeah, and like Darius just looked flat out was not that impactful year one. It was kind of not took a step up in year two, but it was not the leap from his leap from year one to year two was like noticeable. His leap from year two to year three was like kind of like fringe, like kind of like average-ish NBA player to like bona fide all star. That's a pretty massive. Huge leap. That's and like Jordan Poole was in the G League last year and was like was incredible this year for Golden State. So.
I don't know.
I just, as someone who thinks about this stuff too much and then thinks about, like, and, like, this is something I do with, like, the Oscars and stuff. Like.
Oh, Chris.
The way that awards are voted on is, like, never uniform and it is quite often stupid. And, like, we should probably just, like, try to fix that and get on the same page.
I'm just thinking of the Oscars. I'm picturing Sean Coleman just, like, busting down your office door and just open hand slapping you and saying, get John Morant's name out of y'all's fucking mouth. He has to say y'all because he's from the South, so.
Well, look, we may be talking about Kyle Anderson in this podcast at some point, so perhaps we're going to have to have
his voice is like molasses, that Sean Coleman. So
yeah, all right, that is going to be it though. We'll be back on Wednesday. Kobe Allman is speaking to the media on Tuesday after you've listened to this, so you can so we'll talk about what Kobe had to say on Wednesday show, and until then, I'm Chris, that's Evan. Be well, stay hydrated, and we'll talk to you on the other side here.